Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. So yeah, we're back. So we got right now with Srego and Seuss. I imagine we'll have a few more people call in. I'm sure Garrett and Dan will call in here in just a second. But Seuss, where did we leave off? Did we leave off with Ivan, or did I miss
We finished up Ivan. We were heading to Powell.
Okay. So we haven't done Powell, though?
We have not done Powell, correct.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we can move on if you're ready. We can get people in as they
yep.
call.
Powell's list is as follows: Cam Bedrosian at $6, Greg Bird at $6, Alex Bregman at $6, Jacob DeGrom at $16, Edwin Diaz at $6, Josh Donaldson at $23, George Springer at $21, and Tony Watson at $6. So that is the list of Ryan Powell, and it's I think it's a pretty solid list, a good situation with saves and some really nice offensive pieces to build around. So I think he's got a pretty good list.
I agree. I had spoken with him a couple times in the off season, and he was adamant. I mean, he just said, "I'm good. I'm not interested in dealing anybody. Like, I'm just done." Like, he's ready to roll. And you can't really blame him. You know, he's got good hitters. I guess the only one, and I love Edwin Diaz. I really wanted him. He just wasn't interested. And Cam Bedrosian could be really good too, if he's for sure the closer. It looks that way with Street getting hurt. And then Bregman, Donaldson, Springer, the only one I would, and I'm sure he would say this is probably his seventh or eighth guy, is Greg Bird. I don't know. Is he platooning with Carter?
I think that's probably what will end up happening. I don't necessarily hate the pick, but it's like you said, it's probably his last one in there. And I know he was flip-flopping back and forth on whether or not to keep Bedrosian, because his original list did not have Bedrosian on it. That was a lot of the situation.
Yeah.
So
we just got another caller. Is that Nitz or is that someone else?
Yeah, it is Nitz again.
Okay, cool. Admittedly, I don't know much about Greg Bird. Doesn't look like he got any playing time in the major leagues last year. So I think it's a –
Well, he was hurt,
you know,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was hurt.
Shoulder injury. Yeah, okay. So, it's whatever. The rest of his list is really good. So it's hard to really – you know, if I had to pop, you know, puncture any holes, that would be the only one. All right, let's get this last caller in here. Who's this?
This is Dan and Garrett again.
Okay. Got Dan and Garrett. Okay, cool. So, hey, Garrett, you work, well, Dan, you do too. You guys work with Ryan. I don't know how often you guys see him. Did you guys talk to him at all this off season about his list, or try and trade with him at all, or anything like that?
I missed what you said. Can you run through that for me one more time real quick?
Just like we went through Ryan Powell's list, and I know you guys work at BSN, and I was just curious if you guys had talked to him at all this off season or recently about his list or tried to trade with him or anything like that.
I just messaged him like a couple of days ago asking if, when I was trying to consolidate a little bit and seeing if he was wanting to he mentioned, let's see, what did he say? He said Greg Bird was going to be his number eight on his list. But I didn't hear what you said for the rest of his list. Who else was it?
Josh Donaldson, Alex Bregman, George Springer, Jacob DeGrom, and then he's got three closers: Tony Watson, the Pirates, Edwin Diaz, Seattle, and Cam Bedrosian in Los Angeles.
Okay. Because I know he also had the guy from the Brewers, Hernan Perez, who he was thinking about keeping. So he must have been the first one. I mean, and for for $6, like he did last year, I think he could have been kept by somebody, but.
Yeah. All right. Seuss, you want to move on?
On to Kyle Rego. I believe you're still here, aren't you, Kyle?
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to walk your? You want to walk us through your list?
Yeah, I ended up keeping Devin Travis $6, Trevor Story for $11, Jackie Bradley Jr. $12, Stephen Piscotty $11, Rajah Davis $15, Yu Darvish at $12. I can't pronounce the dude's first name. Oh, the Cardinals closer at $6, and Robbie Ray at $13. Obviously, Robbie Ray and Davis are my two wild cards. Rajah Davis at 15 doesn't thrill me, but if he can steal bases like he has in the past, I can live with it at least. And then if he hits any power or RBIs at all, that's just an added bonus, but that's purely for say or for stolen bases. So I like the list. You know, it's not super expensive, so it leaves me money left over to plug my holes. And I'm good with that. So
plug my holes. How many dollars do you have left?
You know what? Steve, do you have it off the top of your head? Cause I don't think I have it.
174, which puts him around the top five of remaining money.
So he's at $86. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like your list. You have a good combination of speed and power with your hitters. You have good hitters. And obviously, you know, I like Darvish. I tried like 1,000 times to get Darvish. And in O seems to be a really good player. I mean, for $6, I think that's a great closer. And Robbie Ray, his upside, I mean, I did not know that he struck out over 200 last year.
He almost had a
5 ERA. He is those kind of guys strike me so odd because they can strike out everyone. So obviously people are having a hard time hitting him, but then his ERA is almost 5 and guys, he gives up a ton of hits. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I think the big thing with him last year is his control. He didn't have great command. And then, I mean, the defense playing behind him last year was somewhat suspect. So, you know, just judging off the things I've read, and I was telling Garrett this earlier today, you know, he added another pitch to his arsenal. So hopefully, knock on wood, you know, can lower that ERA a little bit. I say we like I have any part in it, but hopefully he lowers his ERA. And I like him, you know, for $13, even if he doesn't strike out 200 guys again, I mean, I can't imagine him only striking out, you know, 150 after 218 last year. So it's a good buy in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think Darvish is going to strike out like 275 this year, my opinion. If he's healthy, I don't think that's unreasonable, honestly. So I think, yeah, I like your list. I think it's one of the top five for easily.
Yeah, I think it's pretty strong as well. I was looking at stuff earlier today, and according to like what my program has, you're the only person in the league that has three players of plus 10 value amongst their keepers. So that's a unique situation for you. You obviously got a little bit of depth in your keeper list, and that's always a good thing to have. So kudos,
yeah.
Rego. Even though you don't know shit about baseball, you've assembled a pretty decent keeper list.
Sure.
All right, moving on to Paul Schmidt. Chris Bryant, $16. Jonathan Gray, $6. J.D. Martinez, $16. Miguel Sano, $16. Jonathan Scoop, $13. Matt Shoemaker, $8. Jameson Taillon, $6. And for some inexplicable reason that even Paul can't explain to me, Michael Conforto at $11.
Yeah, that was the one that when I was looking at his list, I could not understand why. I didn't know his roster beforehand, so maybe he just wanted eight and that was his best guy, but that was a head scratcher for me.
Well, he messaged me with about 15 minutes before the deadline. He messaged me and said, "I hate my life. Keep Conforto at 11." So that I think that it's one of those things where you don't have to. And I think the weird thing is that he for some strange reason he just loves Michael Conforto and just didn't want to let him go. And of course, my argument being is I don't think there's anybody in the league that would have been shouting 10 on draft day if you really wanted him back that desperately. So
we don't know what Rob would do. He very well could have shouted 10. Because Rob loves Conforto.
Paul might have shouted 40 just to start. So maybe it was a preventative measure.
I mean,
and then yelled at everyone in the room and said, "I'll do it again."
I mean, what's really not to love about Conforto? I mean, last year, just crushing lefties at a 104 clip. I mean, we can just go ahead and put him down right now for an everyday player, definitely in there against lefties. He scored one run against lefties last year. Had one run and five hits and 50 at-bats. Now, I don't know if that's good, but maybe that's what he was henching his, you know. I that's a huge shock to me.
Last time I checked, the Mets are short on outfielders and haven't been trying to trade one since like last October. So,
no.
I mean, there's plenty of playing time opportunity as well for him. So, what's not to like?
Yeah. Well, all right. The rest of his list is he's got some other good players. I mean, he's got a good start with Chris Bryant and JD and John Gray, although JD's leg just fell off yesterday. So, That could be a problem. So we'll see how that works out, but I'm sure Paul will be Paul and he'll mess it up.
Hey, in hindsight, do you think Darling regrets trading Chris Bryant as opposed to maybe moving Harper or Trout? You know, he traded him that one year when he was trying to make a move. And, I mean, hindsight being 2020, Harper hasn't exactly been, you know, all world since that point. Just, you know, things that make you go, you know, possibly.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's suddenly, I mean, he's always seemed to have the ability to pull that prospect out of the ether because he's done it with Seager, he's done it with Bryant, he's done it with
Well, it's easy
Trout
when you get the first pick in the taxi draft.
Well,
yeah,
but I mean, in fairness to him, a couple of those times he took him in the regular draft before we got to that point. So, I mean, he took Trout in the regular draft as one of his last picks of the regular draft. He just threw him out there for a dollar before Mike Trout was Mike Trout, and obviously that was a thing to do at the time. Now, other people have tried that, and it's failed miserably, but he's done it multiple times. So I guess in hindsight, I mean, he's probably keeping the guys that he likes a lot because I know he likes Harper a lot, and that was probably the incentive for – and now it looks a little bit different after Harper had a less than outstanding year last year. But, I mean, if you would have asked that same question a year ago, I mean, the answer might have been completely different. So, you know, it's hindsight, so who knows. All right, Dan, you want to walk us through your spectacular list?
Yeah, sure. So a couple days ago, whatever it was that I traded Rizzo away to Zach, I think I had seven hitters and AJ Ramos. And basically what I ended up doing was trading Rizzo and Scope. So Rizzo and Jonathan Scope. And I ended up getting back Alex Colome. I think that's how you say his name. Jake Arrieta, and then I've gotten Jose Ramirez as part of that, and then I slid Jarrett Parker into the deal. So I like it more, I think, just because now I have two closers and an ace. with five hitters to go with it. So I got Odor at 16, Jake Lamb at 11, Michael Franco at 11, Jarrett Parker at 6, A.J. Ramos 11, Alex Colome 13, Jake Arrieta 16, and Jose Ramirez 6, which I believe is $90. Eight guys for $90. And again, I think I got pretty good balance there. I've got my ace starting pitcher, which can be pretty tough to get in the draft at a decent price. Got two closers and five pretty cheap hitters who are all, they're young, but I think they're all pretty good. So I feel pretty good about it.
You were pretty active over the last couple of weeks. You feel like you accomplished what you were hoping to, or did you feel like you didn't quite make it as far as maybe you would have wanted to?
No, I think I did. I think I did what I wanted to. Cause like I said, whenever it was that I traded Rizzo away, at that point I had seven hitters and one closer. And then also Scope was part of my keepers who I didn't really love all that much. And so I really like all eight guys that I'm keeping. And I was at a point where I was keeping Scope, and I didn't have Parker on my list, who I was kind of intrigued by. So I was able to get Parker on my list, get rid of Scope, and then I think balance out my lineup a little bit so that I've got, you know, some hitting, some pitching, and then I got my two closers, which I usually like to have going into the draft just so that I don't have to pay an outrageous amount for saves. So I feel pretty good about it, I think. Sucks losing Rizzo, but
All right. I'm moving on to Todd Schwarzkopf's list. He's got Francisco Lindor at 16, Tyler Naquin at 11, Jose Quintana at 24, Dustin Pedroia at 18, Wilson Contreras at 6, Lance McCullers at 11, Cody Allen at 16, and Ivan Nova at 6. So are there any general thoughts about that list?
He did not like it when we said Ivan Nova was a mistake to pick in the taxi draft.
Yeah.
He was very touchy on that.
He added him late. He was like, I want to say within the last half an hour, I think he decided that he'd rather have eight, and whether or not Nova is all going to be all that profitable, he must just be an enthusiastic fan of Ivan Nova. So it's hard to quibble too much with a $6 pitcher, but I mean, it's Ivan Nova. So there's that. Yeah. So, okay. And now Todd's successfully into the page. So we've accomplished a lot this evening. There we go. Okay. So, all right, Garrett, what you got for me, buddy?
Sorry, I was taking a nap. Run you through my list, which is not accurate on the page. Adam Duvall at 8. I guess, you know, you could run through my list. It's pretty good. The one guy that's kind of not in America right now is Jung-Ho Kang. And so that's kind of my biggest worry, is him at $11. Hopefully he gets his work visa and makes his way to America here in the next week.
Avoids prison.
So, listen, I'm not adverse to having criminals on my team. But that's kind of my biggest worry, is Kang. Everybody else I'm comfortable with, I like, except for my closer at $16. I hate closers, and I did that. I overpaid. Everything else, save shouldn't be a category, yada, yada. So.
You said it wasn't right on the site. What's wrong with it?
You got it, Jose Ramirez. I think Tommy Joseph.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, no, I'm not looking at the site. Don't worry about it. I'm looking at the Excel docs. Seuss, I can't expect you to keep up with it. Yeah,
okay.
Don't worry about it.
No. I just wanted to make sure that it was right. That's all.
No, you're good. I love Odubel Herrera. I think he's a guy that has high upside. I like Carlos Martinez. You know, hopefully this is his year to be an ace. Peraza, we'll see what happens. Shortstop, outfield eligibility. Dude stole like 80 bases 3 years in a row in the minor leagues. Again, K-Rod, I absolutely hate for $16, and I gave up a Cy Young candidate for him because we have to have saves. Salazar, I love because I'm a Tribe guy. So I like my list, everything except for a closer, but, you know, you really, really need to have a closer going into the draft. I mean, that's kind of the bottom line.
Okay, let's see here. Moving on to Tyler Shore. $21, Nolan Arenado. $6, Didi Gregorius. $20, Jonathan Lucroy. $6, Eduardo Nunez. $13, Andrew Miller. $19, Daniel Murphy. $17, Kyle Hendricks. $11, Marcus Stroman. I think in the last half an hour he improved it a little bit. He had a couple of guys on that list that I think were a little bit overpriced that he was planning on keeping. So what does everyone else think about that list?
He was about to keep Ben Zobrist at $23 before me and Garrett talked him out of it and making
that's
that
what
deal.
I thought, that's specifically what I'm talking about was that right there. It really kind of threw me a little bit. So, yeah, that was.
Yeah, he's lucky that Garrett kind of basically told him, like, you need to do this deal where he gave up Hendricks and Stroman. And gotten Zobrist off of his list because that would have just been absolute trash.
Yeah. At the $22 rate, I was like, yeah, that's not great. So, but I thought basically based on those deals that it made him a little bit deeper and a little bit better. So I think his list is okay. And obviously when you have Nolan Arenado at a huge discount, you're starting with a good foundation. So a pretty good list in my mind.
I do not like the Miller. I don't think he's going to get many save opportunities at all. I am really buying Stroman, though.
Yeah. If given my druthers, I wouldn't have kept Miller either. It's one of those things where I would be pretty surprised if he went for $13 in the draft. So he's one of those guys that I definitely – if it's somebody that I wanted – like just on the off chance that you like the strikeouts and the, you know, what he brings to the table, you can get him for cheaper than that. That's at least my take on it. So yeah, I agree with you on that.
What did just out of curiosity, was it Betances who went for a lot last year when Chapman was pretty clearly the closer?
Yeah, he went for a fair amount. There were like a couple of other guys that like went between like $5 and $8 that were like clearly not closers. And then,
right, of course,
I mean there were a few others that like ended up. People thought they were the closers and they weren't. So, you know, Ken Giles comes to mind as being one of them. But so there's always so much volatility in closers that. I mean, what we do in this league is probably flies in the face of logic, but you almost can't go into the draft predicting bomb outs because there's just too many teams. And now with free agency bidding, I mean, unless you're Phil and are prepared to spend $250 on the great Genmar Gomez, you might have a hard time fixing your closer situation. So you just got to hope for the best. So, well,
sure.
My list is as follows. Paul Goldschmidt at 31, Jorge Familia at 11, Eugenio Suarez at 11, Carlos Carrasco at 16, D. Gordon at 24, Logan Forsyth at 11, Jorge Polanco at 6, and Gregory Polanco at 21. So that is my less than exciting list, but it is what it is. So
what's the situation with Carrasco? Isn't he having some issues with arm issues or something like that? Or
I'm not excessively worried about it. I'm noting it, but it's, to me, I couldn't really justify. I didn't really have anybody that was that great to replace him, even if I wanted to. And two, I mean, I couldn't justify letting him go at that value. Now I could find out tomorrow that his arm has exploded, and then that's just the gamble that I took. But at 16, I like him. I think he's ace caliber if he throws anywhere near. I mean, his injury history is not. It's just weird. It's not like I think his arm's going to explode. He's had a lot of weird injuries. So, I mean, he got hit in the face last year. So, I mean, that's
right.
I mean, I can't really hold his injury track record against him. And I just thought there was too much value there. I'm a little concerned, but I'm not heavily concerned. So, but
the only guy I don't love on the list is probably D. Gordon. I don't know, for some reason
I'm not a huge fan, but my thing with him was, you know, I like the fact that I hate chasing speed in the draft. It's just something that drives me nuts. And he's the guy if he performs like he should perform, then I don't have to worry about it on draft day. Because, like, based on who I currently have on my roster with keepers, I think I already have 125 steals in the bank. So on draft day, I don't have to do anything with it. I don't have to chase it. I don't have to worry about it. I can just completely focus on trying to get the other things that I need to make my team better. So, I mean, there was a lot of interest from people in trading for him. So that tells me that at least there's some people that are interested in him, and it's not just me. But I don't love the value. I wish it was a little bit cheaper, but I know what he is. I mean, he's the kind of guy that, like, is a difference maker in one category. So, I mean, chances with him.
I think Billy Hamilton got kept at what, 23, and Gordon's a better, you know, I think he's a better average hitter at least.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I like about this team is that essentially my infield is complete, so I don't have to spend much of any energy on my infield. I can focus all of my remaining efforts on my outfield because I don't give a rat's ass who my catchers are. I mean, I might just leave them empty or draft Yogi Berra or something, but I like the construction of it, like where the guys are on my team, and if as long as Familia doesn't get suspended for half the year or something, I mean, I like my list fine. I think it's a little more expensive than I like, but the quality of some of the guys at the top, I think, make a difference there. I mean, having Goldschmidt is obviously a plus, and you know, moving on from there kind of resembles some of the teams that I've had in the past that have been a little bit more competitive than I have been the last couple of years. It's got a solid foundation. I spent a little bit of money, but I don't care because of those. Now I don't have to spend $40 on a first baseman in the draft like I have for the last 5 years. So that is a plus for me. So in a nutshell, I think it's an okay list. Obviously I would like another closer, but many attempts at that failed. So eventually I had to give up the ghost there. So, all right, moving on to Dan Tomlin, Gary Sanchez at $6. Danny Duffy at $6, J.A. Happ at $10, Justin Turner at $11, Steve Matz at $11, Jim Johnson at $6, Edwin Encarnacion at $35, and Mitch Haniger at $6. Any thoughts on that particular list?
I like everybody, but except for Happ.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with that.
Garrett went to bed, but he told me today that he was trying to talk Tomlin into doing a two-for-one so that he wouldn't have to keep Happ. And Tomlin, basically his reply was that at that price, he's got Happ locked in for the next 2 years. So,
okay. If you say so.
Yeah, Dan really likes him. I will say that.
Well, at least today in the final half hour, he wised up and removed Johnny Peralta for the list and replaced him with Jim Johnson, because as of 9:30 tonight, he was not planning on keeping a $6 closer. He was planning on keeping Johnny Peralta instead. So I tried to acquire Jim Johnson from him, but I didn't really expect to be successful because I really didn't have a lot to offer. But heading into tonight, he was not keeping him, which I thought was curious, especially based on who he was keeping instead.
Yeah, that's a tough thing there too, because you got to decide if you even want to mention it. Mention Jim Johnson, you know, that kind of puts up a red flag, like, oh, maybe I should keep him, or just keep your mouth shut and let him throw a $6 closer back into the draft.
Yeah, so it was just one of those things where I was like, it didn't really have a lot of ammunition to offer him. I didn't want to. I feel like my keeper list in particular has four guys that people are interested in and four guys that they are not. And they're more my pet projects than anything else. So I didn't really want to give up one of the four guys that I like a lot. And then the other four are probably not worth him acquiring. So it was kind of a weird situation for me, but I did notice all along that, I mean, he took Jim Johnson really late in the expansion draft. So I didn't think he really valued him all that much, but I was torn on to what to do with it, because it's right. I was like, do I say something? And then maybe he throws him back and at least gives me an opportunity to maybe go grab somebody that would be available in the draft. Because right now I don't see myself getting a closer in the draft. There are so few left, and the ones that are include Fernando Rodney and, you know, things of that ilk. I think there are only like three of them that are going to be available that I would want to have on my team, and I'm not going to be willing to pay for them. So it was kind of a weird situation, but he did make the correct decision in the last half an hour by replacing Peralta for Johnson. And not only did I think Johnson was an obvious guy for him to keep, I didn't really see the value in keeping Johnny Peralta. So that was it. But all right, the last and final of the 20 keeper list is the defending champion, Zach. Manny Machado at 26, Anthony Rizzo at 26, Will Myers at 19, Billy Hamilton at 23, James Paxton at 6, Sean Kelly at 6, Michael Fulmer at 6, and Corey Kluber at 25. So that is the list of Zach. Do we have any general thoughts on that?
So, this is Steve again. I read the other day that Kelly is not going to close for Washington.
Well, I didn't see that, actually.
Yeah, I'll...
Whatever his name is, Trinan, that guy's having a really, really good spring.
Blake Trinan?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, and they're also, I mean, it's no secret that they've been trying to get Robertson either.
The following ad is being condensed for your view.
Yeah, what I saw is Trinan, Coda Glover. I guess John Heyman has it in his column that,
and I don't really – that was another reason that I – part of that deal when I gave up Rizzo, Kelly was also in that deal. And, I mean, when you look at Kelly's numbers, like he's pretty good, but for whatever reason, the Nationals don't seem to like him. So I don't get it, but I wasn't all that confident in him being a closer, at least not for very long. So that was part of the reason that I gave him up and got –
No, that's a good deal for you. Heyman's thing says he's not considered a closer candidate due to two past Tommy John surgeries, so I don't know what the fuck that has to do with it, but it's Dusty Baker, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. He might bring back Jose Mesa or something, so you never know. Yeah, so
who is the guy with six fingers, extra pinky?
Al Fonseca?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that would be a good one. So, but yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't seen that today, so that's something to consider. Believe me, I just
it just seems like for whatever reason they don't want to commit to him. So that was kind of the reason I didn't want to end up keeping him. And I mean, not that it's, yeah, it's $6, so it's not that big of a risk. But
well, yeah, and it's also one of those weird situations with the way we do keepers and everything, is that like, if Kelly didn't win the job and Washington didn't trade for someone, none of the other alternatives were actually on anyone's roster. So if Kelly didn't win the job, then that's a closer that would be available in the draft because nobody had any of the other candidates. So that was,
sure,
that's interesting in some respects. So that I was monitoring it too, but I thought ultimately they'd end up with Sean Kelly having the job. And some of my other drafts that I've had that to this point that I don't care about how they play out, I've picked him in a couple of leagues because it just wasn't costing anything. But that obviously is maybe not the best thing. But so who knows?
I didn't realize this until yesterday that nobody had Fernando Rodney in this league, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, there was the one thing that you have to consider, though, that was, it was kind of weird about that whole situation, was when he got traded last year, he went into a setup role.
Right, but you still figure somebody would have had him, you know.
Right.
Is like,
and then there were, and then there were more. There was also, and he may have been on someone's roster, but this wouldn't have made any sense if he would have been. But all the guys that were not taken by teams or by players in the expansion draft got dropped back into the free agency pool. So they made it Phil asked me about this the other day because he was like, "Who had John Segura last year? He's not on anybody's roster." Well, he was, but he wasn't taken in the expansion draft because he went for quite a bit of money. And so once the expansion draft was over, all those guys were lopped off those rosters and thrown back in the free agent pool. So our free agent pool this year had some better players in it than it usually will because of the fact that was what happened. Like, high-priced veterans were thrown back after the expansion draft and they were down into the free agent pool. So that explains some of it, but I think Rodney was pretty bad after he got traded to the Marlins. So I think that was part of the reason whoever had him, I think, just cut bait and said, okay, that experiment's over. So they shot themselves in the face with his arrow. So yeah. So yeah, but that's I think that's the nuts and bolts of it. But yeah, I just looking at some overall numbers, I have it marked right now, not considering the Washington situation, but if you add whoever the Washington closer in is, there will be 7 closers available on draft day, which is insane. But yeah. And I personally wouldn't want 3 of them on my team. So that's,
yeah. I thought,
and I bet those 3 each go for probably $10 to $15.
Yeah, or more.
I agree. And the fact that someone will pay $15 to $20 for Fernando Rodney is terrifying, but I think it might happen. And then I'm fascinated to see what Roberto Osuna goes for.
What
did he go
for
last year? Wasn't it like 24?
Like, it was 24 last year, but maybe we'll have another moment like we've had in the past when Craig Kimbrough comes out. Maybe the bidding will start at like an innocuous $10, and Paul will jump it to 40, and stand up at the table and yell at everyone. for no reason whatsoever.
No, that's reasonable. That's what everyone does.
Yeah,
that's what you're supposed to.
I'll do it again.
He's got it figured out.
Yep.
Oh, he does.
Got to figure it out. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's interesting in that respect, at least, that there's not.
Well,
I'm sure there'll be a market for the vulture closers too. The guys that people seem to think are next in line. I would imagine some of those guys go for some decent money too.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why, I mean, this happens every year, at least the last 2 years. It's been really bad. Like, closers are just, like, they're just strictly not, people are keeping them, and there's only, I count, like, five or less. Depending on who was kept, I was going to count about five, and most of them are terrible. You said seven, and most of them are terrible. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're considering that Sean Kelly hasn't won the Washington job, whoever the Washington closer is one. Whoever the Colorado closer is two. Brandon Maurer is three. Fernando Rodney is four. Craig Kimbrell, five. David Robertson, six. Roberto Osuna, seven. That's it.
Yeah. I was assuming Maurer was going to get kept. I was going down to six, and then I thought someone had Kelly. So,
yeah. So that's if it is Kelly, then it's obviously just six. So that's the nuts and bolts of it. But yeah, it's pretty strange to look at that and see how few there are. But we've been crunching that for a while. So it's
What's the deal in Colorado? I thought Ottavino was, like, the odds-on favorite there.
I think he is, and that I was actually really curious about why Paul didn't keep him. I think he's scared of Greg Holland
in
and taking that job, and I think that's a reasonable fear, but I mean, I still think Ottavino probably starts the season as the closer, and if he does well, he might hold it. But
I just think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious that Paul doesn't bat an eye at paying $800 for Craig Kimbrell, but he just there's no way he can take a chance and keep whatever Ottavino was. He's got to go to Conforto there. He's got to go to Conforto.
Well, yeah, he's got to keep Conforto, and he's got
to
set aside $40 for Craig Kimbrell. So that's what the important thing is here. You just got to set aside the Kimbrell money, because that he realized Kimbrell was going to be available and said, "Well, I can't spend $6 on Adam Ottavino. I've got to have $40 available for Kimbrell." So it's economics.
I'll do it again.
Guys. It's economics. That's what it is. All right. It's simple economics. Get with it.
So, he's got to figure it out, all right?
Yeah, it's
here.
All figured out.
So,
yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see people. Last year, I went into the draft with one. Well, I was supposed to have two, and then Ken Giles, wasn't the closer. So I only had one, and then I ended up paying, like, $18 or $19 for some scrub. I don't even remember who it was. So I'm really looking forward to everyone else doing that this year. I tried to tell people that. I mean, that's why I had three, and I really thought people were going to jump at the chance of getting at least one. Some of them have zero or maybe two, but people, especially the new guys, it was funny because a lot of the new guys were telling me what the draft was going to be like, and I thought that was rather funny given the obvious circumstances, but that's fine. That's fine. Well, that's going to probably wrap it up here. Seuss, maybe you guys already mentioned this. Can trades be made from now until opening day?
Nope.
Or to the draft? Okay. Okay. So
nope.
Who you got?
Nope. We're locked in, and
right.
If one of your guys gets hit by a bus, that's just the way it goes. So similar fashion last year, we had the AJ Pollock thing where Pollock was kept and Pollock immediately was essentially lost for the season. You're basically shit out of luck. So that's the way it goes. You just basically got to hope your guys don't get killed in the